Our man Brian Westbrook joins us on the Comcast Business Hotline. B-West, what you say, brother?
Good morning, brother, man. It seems like it's been forever since I had an opportunity to talk to you guys in the morning, man. It's just been too long, but of course I'm happy to be back with you guys this morning.
Yeah, I'm pumped up, man. I'm curious. I mean, so many things get your take on. Number one is the Bradford story. Mike Garafolo from Fox just was on with us, and he had the story over the weekend saying that the Eagles have increased their offer. Now, he thinks it's closer to, I guess, 15-ish to Bradford and to bring him back. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think what generally happens is, of course, in any negotiation, you throw out a number. Normally, it's a low-ball deal that no one is going to come close to accepting. I mean, they're just not going to accept it. And I think Bradford's the same way. He's a guy that he's made a lot of money. Tom Condon is his agent. And deals get done in this league, especially when guys are free agents. They normally go right up into that edge, right up to the wire. And so I just think the Eagles will continue to increase their offer. But what happens is Howie Roseman goes out and he says, okay, this guy is going to be free. Do we have a chance of getting him? Or do we actually want this guy? And they've gone through their list, Chase Daniels. Do we really want Mark Sanchez to be our starter? All these types of things. And when you go through that list, I have to believe Sam Bradford, for Howie Roseman's point of looking at things, his perspective, he's saying Sam Bradford is their best option to win in the near future. I don't know that I agree with that right now. I don't know that making Sam Bradford a $15 million quarterback this year is the best way to go in my thought process. But when Howie looks at it, that's what he thinks is best.
Well, what about you, though? I mean, let's look at Bradford for a second and, you know, give us, like, your level of interest.
Well, this is the deal. When if you want a guy that's going to be your franchise guy, 15 to 20 million plus, that's going to be the number. So, I mean, there's no way of getting around that. The thing that when I watched Bradford, and I know he had a pretty decent second half of the season, I have not seen him perform to that 15-plus level yet. I mean, that's the thing. And I guess part of it is you're kind of hoping that he gets to that level, and you're hoping that the new system with different type of coaches that can develop him a little bit better will get him to that level. But I truly believe that when you start paying that type of money, these are guys that have proven it. And we haven't seen Bradford prove that he can be that type of quarterback yet. And I guess, you know, same kind of thing with Vinny Curry. We've seen him be explosive on certain plays here and there. But he took a little bit of a discount to come back here, because I'm sure he could have hit free agency and probably got a little bit more money than he got here in Philadelphia. Bradford probably the same way. I'm just not sure that he can live up to those numbers. I haven't seen him do it throughout his career at all.
Yeah, I guess if I look at it and go, all right, if you're going to have Bradford or Chase Daniel or somebody else, that's one thing. As long as it doesn't preclude you from getting out of the deal, like, in 2 years, when you finally have found, hopefully, your quarterback of the future. You
right.
Know?
No, it definitely has to be a team-friendly deal where, just like you mentioned, getting out of it. Let's say Bradford comes out next year and stinks it up, and or God, you know, as a player, you hate to say these types of things, but something crazy happens, he gets injured. Then you're like, you're stuck. You don't want to be in that position. And just like you're mentioning, those are the positions as a team that you just can't afford to be in, where you're paying a guy $15 to $20 million every year, and he's not even healthy enough to play. That's where you can't be. That's where you get kind of stuck behind the eight ball. I still believe this team is in a rebuilding state. And you mentioned this to me maybe a month or two ago. How can you pay your quarterback a whole bunch of money at this point and you haven't won yet? And I'm not sure that this team is even close to that winning stage where they can go through the playoffs and win playoff games. So it's hard for me to understand why they would want to give Bradford that money at this point.
So I'm kind of with you. We've been debating this all morning about where they're at. Now, I don't know. For summation of it, I think next year they're a 6-7 win team, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that's kind of where they're at. Mm-hmm. And so my expectation level isn't playoffs. I still think, you know, you got to rebuild the offensive line. There's like a lot of work. You still need speed on offense. You need skill people. You know, like, I like the scheme change on defense. I like that a lot. I think that's gonna help them. But I still think you're at least a year away from really trying to win the division.
Well, let me ask you this, Anthony. If, let's just say, I personally think that when you have a quarterback, a franchise guy, he's responsible for 3-4 wins, extra wins that you probably wouldn't have won without him per season, right? And if you're telling me they're a 6-7 win team, then I'm not even close to paying Bradford then. If we're a 6 or 7 win type of team, then I can't afford to pay Bradford at this point, because that means we were a 3-4 win team before that, and I think they're a little bit better than that even without Bradford. So truthfully, if Bradford is getting us from 8 wins to 11 to 12, then maybe he's worth $15 to $20 million. But if he can't get us to 11 or 12 wins, and no matter what guys are around him, then in my way of looking at it, I just can't pay him that much money.
Well, what do you say? I don't know. We've been debating it.
Well,
Johnny and Jamie have him a little bit better than I do. Jamie has him at 9 in the playoffs.
No, I agree with you. I still think they're between the 6 and 8 win team, and they do not make it to the playoffs. I think there's other teams in the NFC East that have, they have a better idea where they're going to be at next year. They're not coming with new coaches. They had more consistency, more continuity with the players that they have on the team the last couple of years. And the Eagles aren't ready to take that next step yet. But here's the deal. If Howie Roseman, Doug Peterson actually think Bradford's the guy, if they think Bradford can get them to 10 or 11 wins, that's why you would pay him. That's why I would say they're trying to increase their offer. I truly still believe that they're a 6 to 8 win team, and I can't see Bradford making that much of a difference getting them to that 10, 11 win mark, because we haven't seen that from him. We haven't seen him consistently help this team get better. We haven't seen him consistently hit the deep ball. We haven't seen him consistently play, 16 games a year. And when you start paying franchise money for quarterbacks, you want to see that consistency, game in and game out, him making the players around him better. I didn't see Aguilar look better last year. I didn't see that. I didn't see any of the receivers look better because of Sam Bradford last year, making the guys that are average actually look good. We didn't see that for Sam Bradford, but that's what franchise quarterbacks do, and we haven't seen that for Sam Bradford, so that's why it's hard for me to pay him that type of money.
Hey, B. West, how much, because if you look at what they did last year, obviously it's hard to say the Eagles are going to win any more than 6 or 7 games. Not a lot of talent on offense. People like their defense, but they still maybe lack corners. How much of the new coach and the new philosophy and just dumbing everything down on offense, keeping the defense off the field? You have a defensive coordinator that can come in here and really change it back to a 4-3. I mean, you really can't explain how they would win 8 or 9 games right now based off of last season, but you've seen seasons before where you take the existing talent and a new coach just with a new way is able to win more games.
Well, yeah, that definitely happens sometimes where you know, just like, for example, look at Atlanta. Early in the year, they looked hot. They looked like the team to beat, especially in the NFC South. But then they came back to reality, and they came back to being the average football team that they really are. And maybe we get that same type of explosion early on from our Eagles team, and maybe they have the ability to ride that throughout the season and get themselves up to 9 or 10 wins. I just don't see it. I just don't see it. Based on the holes that they need to fill, I still think they need another wide receiver. They still need a couple offensive linemen. Who knows what happens in the backfield? If they do something like trade DeMarco Murray, now you have Ryan Matthews and Darren Sproles and probably someone you're going to draft in the 3rd, 4th, 5th round playing in your backfield. Ryan Matthews, he missed significant amount of games last year with concussion. And he's missed a significant amount of games throughout his career with injury. So now you're dependent on Sproles, who's a specialist type of guy at this point in his career, and a rookie maybe, if DeMarco Murray is gone through trade or something like that. I mean, these are question marks that you still need to get answered. We still have to see how this defense responds, even though we believe that their front 7 is going to be much improved in the 4-3. We still want to see how their back 4 are going to respond in this new defense. Can they now play man-to-man all of a sudden? Will Byron Maxwell be the standout guy that we traded for him, through free agency, got him through free agency to be? Is Nolan Carroll get by? I mean, these are legitimate questions that need to be answered before I can say this team is going to just do this 9, 10, 11 win type of season.
Yeah, you and I kind of see it very similarly. I mean, we're looking at the stages of building the thing. Like, I look at Bradford and go, all he is right now to me is a stopgap.
Right.
To whatever's next.
Right.
I mean, look, there are places that I think, like, if he went to Denver, I could see him playing well in Denver. If he went to the Jets, I could see him playing well at the Jets. He needs to go to a place that can protect him, A. What's his best attribute, right? That he can throw the football.
Right.
So, but you got to protect him.
Well, of course, you definitely have to protect him.
I mean, this offensive line needs a lot of work.
I think when I look at these schemes that I know Doug is going to present as far as the offensive line, they probably would do a better job protecting him just because Chip Kelly's not the guy. I don't think Chip Kelly put a premium on protecting the quarterback because a lot of college coaches, Steve Spurrier comes to mind, of course Chip Kelly comes to mind, protecting the quarterback, that wasn't their number one priority. Doug Peterson understands why it's so important to protect the quarterback. So I think that's a boost no matter if you improve your offensive line or not. Doug Peterson is going to make sure that his quarterback is protected. We saw that with Donovan throughout the years. When I first came into the league, they set me down immediately and said, listen, if you can't pass block and if you don't understand the pass, the blocking schemes that we have on this offense, you're not going to play, period, because the quarterback position on our team is the most valuable position. And number five, we're paying this guy an awful lot of money for a reason. And I believe that they're going to try to take care of whoever the quarterback is, Bradford in this case, the same type of way with their protections, things like that. But the truth is, there has to be other things. We have to still be able to do other things to make Sam Bradford successful. We still need to be him to be able to throw the ball down the field. We still need our receivers to be able to catch the football, which was a problem the last year. So there are some issues that need to be resolved. And just like you mentioned, I look at this thing as a rebuilding process. And we're at the beginning of the rebuilding process. And I'm not going to say that we're at zero.
Right.
We're definitely not at 10.
Right. So they're not terrible. I was saying earlier, and I think people kind of misconstrued what I was talking about. I don't think they're an awful team. I mean, there's a lot that I like about it, particularly on defense. But offensively, like if I'm looking at the line, I don't know where Jason Peters is right now. I mean, I love the guy. The guy was a great player here, but he's not the same player he was right now. He's just the name.
Well, yeah, but I think, no, he's definitely not the same player, and no one is. Father Time, obviously, is undefeated. But I think huddling up, I think him being able to catch his breath between plays, not running a million plays and during practice would definitely help improve Jason Peters and not playing for Chip Kelly. You have to factor that in a little bit there, too. will help Jason Peters just a bit. And I think that entire offensive line, quite honestly. But when you look at this thing, they have some holes that need to be filled for them to be on that level that we all want this team to be on.
It's 9 a.m. You're listening to 97.5 The Fan, WPE in Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. B. West hanging out with us. B. West, you watch the Oscars last night?
Absolutely not. didn't even come close to my television.
So what was your weekend like? I mean, before we get back into Eagles, what was the B. West Brooklyn weekend like?
You know, I was in Maryland this weekend. So
nice.
I went down to the farm. It was a nice weekend. Beautiful, beautiful Saturday. Beautiful. Absolutely. You already know. I was on the horses, riding the horses around, making sure everything was all right. We're hoping that spring comes early, man, so we can get some of this grass growing for the horses. And so I spent a lot of time.
So what do you have on the farm?
Just horses, man. Just horses. So we have we have pasture area. And, you know, the horses go out there and graze. During the wintertime, we don't allow them out in the pasture. We just try to get the grass some break time just so that the seeds can, you know, continue to grow deeper roots and things like that so the grass comes up nice and strong in the spring. But, you know, just checking things out, man.
So are the horses, do you race them?
No, so we have some old races.
I'm just curious.
I look like a jockey to you? Is that what you're saying? Are you saying I'm a jockey now? Yeah.
No, not you. But I don't know if you own race, like, yeah, you're, no, like race horses.
Yeah, none of these horses. We have some old retired race horses. So
that's cool.
Yeah, these are all pleasure horses. So people come out, you know, they're regular 9-to-5 working people. They come out and enjoy the horses after work, or some of them before work.
Oh, that's cool, yeah, man.
It's nice, relaxed.
I can take
atmosphere.
The little boys down there.
Yeah, anytime, man. They will love it. We put them on a horse. We'll take them down to the pond. We'll take them fishing and everything like that. They'll have a great time.
That's cool. Look at that.
Brian, if you need some tips on how to, you know, refertile the soil this year, Anthony's great at grass growing tips.
Is that right?
Yeah, so he'll give you his.
He's a natural.
Anthony told me he doesn't even have any grass at all. He said he lives in a high rise.
It's true. I don't listen to them. But
they're trying to make fun of you.
Yeah.
Always making fun of the boss.
It's all right. Now, I you know what's funny about it? I have a desire to learn about the farm.
Really?
You do?
I do.
I did not know that.
That actually shocks me.
Well, yeah, not a great desire, but I have...
not a great desire, right?
The horses are beautiful animals.
You've been up on a horse before, Ant?
I have, yes.
How'd that work out for you? I don't like being on a horse.
I'm not John Wayne, but I mean, I did it a couple times.
All right.
I would pay good money to see Anthony on a horse. I would pay good money.
But you've been on a horse and not a bike.
Yeah, I've been
on that.
The horse, I love the horse, man. The horse is...
the horse.
It just sounds unnatural.
I love the horse, man. I do. I fell in love with the horse. I really... No, they were at racetracks, but in the barn. No,
yeah,
seriously.
He's been a trifecta.
No, I thought it was awesome, man. I gotta tell you. So you're down in Maryland.
Yeah,
that's cool. It's nice. It's gotta be so relaxing for you after the Brooklyn thing to go kind of get some space.
Yeah, well, Maryland's a whole different world compared to Brooklyn. Of course, Brooklyn, everyone is in one small area trying to get places, traffic lights, people blowing the horns, things like that. Maryland's just, it's much more relaxing, similar to Philly for me, just much more relaxing, a lot more laid back than Brooklyn. But just being on the farm just gives you some time to decompress. You're allowed to gather your thoughts, your feelings, all those types of things. That's the good part of having a farm for me and being able to ride those horses and the dog running around. I put my daughter up on the horse for a little bit. She loved it.
Oh, that's beautiful.
So, yeah, man. Yeah, it was a great time.
Do you watch any combine?
Yeah, I've been watching the combine off and on and pretty much all weekend. Now I'm getting set to watch the D-backs here. You know, they're stretching and things like that now. But, yeah, I've been watching it off and on. You know, it's amazing. I watched some of the D linemen yesterday and Saturday going through the drill. So sometimes you have the D linemen, they're kind of tweeners. So they're going to be 4-3 defensive ends or maybe 3-4 outside linebackers. And it's amazing to me how bad some of them looked in some of these drills. So they go to the combine, you know exactly what drills you're going to run. And you still don't work on these drills enough. And I think what it is that they don't have enough time in between the end of their college season and the combine to get prepared for exactly these drills. But they just didn't look fluid in some of these situations. And you just wonder, what are these colleges trying to coach these kids up on? Are they preparing them for the next level, or are they just making them good enough to play at their program so that their program can win? But some of these guys just didn't look very good.
So when you look at the Eagles at 13, like what are you thinking? Are you thinking, you know, if there could be probably the two offensive linemen will be the Big Ten kids who are right tackles. Those guys should be available. How would you kind of approach the draft? Like when you're looking at your big board in the first round.
Yeah. Well, if I'm the Eagles, knowing that Jason Peters is going to be back, I'm hoping to find a guy that can start out at least playing a little guard, right? And then when Jason Peters retires or whatever you do with Jason Peters, you move Lane Johnson over and you put him at right tackle. So, but for the next couple of years or however long we have Jason Peters, I'm going to need this guy to play. And I just can't wait for Jason Peters to retire, for him to get in there. So I'm going to need him to play early, and he's going to have to play the guard position. And so when I looked at some of these guys, and I couldn't tell you any of these guys' name,
right?
But I looked at some of these guys. I need them to be athletic and strong enough to play inside against some of the best D linemen. Some of those three techs are strong, physical guys. They have good footwork and good hands. So I need my guy. And every time I think about a guard, I remember back to Sean Andrews, and he had some issues at the towards the end of his career. But when he came in, I saw a guy that can run a sub 5 a 5.0 40. I saw a guy that can move around. He had great footwork.
Yeah, he should have been.
Technique. He was an ideal. Yeah, he was a great player.
He would have
been. He was just great at everything that he did, and he was an athlete similar to Jason Peters. Mm-hmm. And Sean could have easily pushed out to play tackle, but they started him at guard, and he was an all-pro guard. That's the type of guy that you're looking for.
It's a shame because he should have been a great player.
No question. There's no doubt about it.
He should have been a great player.
Sean was a really good dude. He had some issues that he was dealing with, some demons that he was dealing with. But when you talk about a guy on the field that you wanted to follow, imagine. I had Trey Thomas on my left. Hank Fraley and Jamal Jackson underneath center. Sean Andrews to my right guard and John Runyon. That's the side that you want to run behind.
Yeah,
two road graders, guys that can get it done. And then just imagine, Sean Andrews, because he was so athletic, he can lead you out on that screen. So he was the first guy out in the screen, and he was leading me deep down the field. Those are the guys that you're looking for if you're Philadelphia Eagles this year.
Yeah, man, that's building a line. Oof.
And they're hard to find. So don't give me – they're not just a dime a dozen, because those types of athletes are definitely hard to find.
Yeah.
But if you could find somebody like that at 13, and I wouldn't just kind of, I wouldn't look past their ability to move up somehow. And I don't know how they do it without a second-round pick, but I'm sure Howie and Doug and those guys in the front office, they're still trying to and see if they can move up somewhere in this draft so they can get a little bit higher pick than number 13.
Let me ask you this. Would you consider, if Laquon Treadwell's there, who's a stud, man,
yeah.
That kid's a great receiver, the kid from Ole Miss. He's the best receiver in the draft. If he's somehow there at 13, which is a possibility, knowing that you took receivers last 2 years, would you still do it?
I think I definitely have to look at it. I mean, because you're in a situation where if, let's just say you do pay Bradford, you have to be able to protect them. That's important. But you also have to be able to throw the ball to someone. And we saw last year that they were just deficient in those areas.
Yeah.
They couldn't throw the ball down the field. They couldn't get receivers open enough to get the ball to them. So if Treadwell is there at 13, I definitely would take a long look at him and then maybe try to move up into the second round, if at all possible, to try to get another guy for our offensive line. So those are the things that you have to look at if you're the Eagles, where you're saying, okay, if this guy is available, well, what would we do at that point? I think you bring Bradford back. Let's say you do that. I would definitely take a long look at Treadwell, because he's an impact player that can change things around a little bit for that team.
Brian, would you look at Chris Jones, the defensive lineman from University of Arkansas? He really impressed this weekend when he was running his 40 and his junk fell out.
Listen,
what would you think about him?
Listen, if you can't even, get things situated beforehand, then I can't pick you at 13.
So you'd say he's unprepared and not worthy of 13.
You are not prepared to play for me, but it would be a good story.
It's classic.
How did that happen? I didn't even see that. How did that happen?
I'll send you the screenshot.
Yeah, I'll pass on that.
No. You weren't watching close enough, Brian.
Yeah, that I probably
was. That's why he's Peter Gazer, man. He doesn't miss it. All right, we'll come back, and we got another segment to hang with B. West. And if you want to check out 610-632-0975 and chat with us, we'll open up the phone lines. Morning show right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, my guys, Panther East, Black Cat Fasteners. They're providing great quality, great service. So if you're a roofer, you're a contractor, you're out there working right now, you're at the job site, and you need something, that's what Panther East is all about. Job site delivery for every brand they distribute. Job site service, they do it all. Richard Moore and Panther East and Black Cat Fasteners, they're all about quality. You could go to any of the big box stores. I'm not trying to compete with those guys, because they have the great products. They have the great adhesive sealants, mechanical fastening system, fall protection, best brands, Metabo, DeWalt, fair prices, job site delivery for everything they distribute. Surveys are available as well. So just like your business is growing, so is Panther East and Black Cat Fasteners, and they want you aboard with them. Here's what you do. Go to their website, blackcatfasteners.com, and pantherlikethecateast.com. You can follow them on Facebook and Twitter, Panther East and Black Cat Fasteners.
Here's what's trending now on 97.5 The Fanatic. The Eagles have reportedly upped their offer to Sam Bradford. Mike Garofalo joined us this morning and said Howie Roseman wants to get the deal done, and it's in the $12 to $15 million range. The Sixers dropped their eighth straight, losing 130-116 to the Magic on the road. They're back at it against Washington tonight at 7 on the Fanatic. The Flyers are home against the Flames tonight at 7 on WMMR. The NHL trade deadline is 3 p.m. today. That's what's trending on 97.5 The Fanatic.
4, 3, 2, 1.
Friday's First Endless Apps of 2016 begins now.
Kitchen, we are a go.
That's right. America's favorite guilty pleasure is back. And $10 still gets you endless rounds of your favorite app, like mozzarella sticks, loaded potato skins, or 8 styles of wings. We're talking endless rounds of the best appetizers on earth.
More endless apps for mankind.
Endless apps are back at Friday's.
Such an app.
I went into Wells Fargo to open an account.
When you come in to open a new account, one of our bankers talks to you about your goals and what services you need.
It's like meeting with a personal shopper, and he measures you, and you tell him exactly what you like, and he gets everything for you.
And you leave with a detailed printout summarizing everything you signed up for.
So then when you open your closet, you have all these amazing things to wear. Man, there's no cardigans, because you don't like cardigans.
Wells Fargo wants you to know where you stand with your banking, because knowing where you stand feels good. Wells Fargo. Together we'll go far. Wells Fargo Bank N.A., member FDIC.
Attention, business owners. Now's the time to save with the Comcast Business Switch and Save event. Call 800-501-6000 now to get 30% off the regular price on the speed you need to download files faster, send large email attachments, process credit card transactions, and more. You'll get fast 25 megabits per second internet for just $69.95 per month when you add phone and TV, our lowest price of the year. But hurry, this offer ends soon. Afraid switching will disrupt your business? With our no-glitch switch, you can choose your installation time, days, nights, even weekends. Plus, you get our 30-day money-back guarantee. Don't miss the Comcast Business Switch and Save event. Get 30% off internet plus our no-glitch switch. Call 800-501-6000 now. Offer ends 3/31/16. Restrictions apply. Limited to one voice line and private view TV for new business customers with 2-year contract. Equipment, taxes, fees, including broadcast TV fee extra.
These days, the word loyalty, when applied to a grocery store, brings to mind a keychain loaded with little plastic cards and robust data tracking. This is Dan Bain of Trader Joe's. We know that loyalty doesn't come from a special card or a so-called reward you receive when you spend your hard-earned dollars in a store. At Trader Joe's, we would never test your loyalty by printing out a 3-foot-long scroll of coupons for money off things the next time you shop in our stores. We reward your loyalty by pricing our products as low as they can go every single day. No coupons or club cards needed, ever. At Trader Joe's, we believe loyalty is something we have to earn every day with every customer. So we focus on offering the best values on terrific foods and beverages every day in every corner of every one of our stores. The reward? You spend less money on the things you need and want every day. For the location of your neighborhood Trader Joe's, check us out at TraderJoe's.com. And thanks for listening.
How you doing, caller?
Ugh, starving. I'm on a new diet. All I can see is food I can't have.
Have you considered AT&T?
For my diet?
Obviously. You can get unlimited talk, text, and data usage and your second month free when you make the switch to AT&T GoPhone. And your first 2 gigabytes are high speed.
Gigs you can bite?
No, but with no annual contract, you get a 4G LTE network that's worth feasting on.
Ooh, 4G BLT.
4G LTE. Plus, it's just $40 a month after a $5 auto refill discount.
It's a loaded buffet.
Yeah, and none of the calories.
Thanks for your help.
What are you eating?
Ooh, nothing.
AT&T, mobilizing your world. Get the second month free when you switch to AT&T GoPhone. In stores or at att.com/GoPhone.
Oh, I'm too full.
Have you been eating this whole time?
Limited time second month free offer requires important and eligible service. Excludes AT&T and Cricket customers. GoPhone account must have SIM card and must be funded within first 26 days of activation to be eligible. Free month equals value of monthly plan purchase at activation. After first 2 gigabytes, data speeds reduced up to 128 kilobytes per second. First month $45. $5 discount applied to monthly rate plan. Charge upon enrollment and order refill. Additional charges and restrictions apply. See store for details.
Hi, I'm Dale, the owner of Two Man and Truck Philadelphia. If you're thinking of moving, you want it done right, let me and my team take the stress out of your move. We're locally owned and operated, and we have a 96% referral rating. That's right, 96%. No matter what the size of your move, we handle all your stuff like it was our own. You've seen our trucks, now it's time to experience the movers who care. Visit twomenandatruck.com to receive your free moving quote. That's twomenandatruck.com, the movers who care.
It's a great time to jumpstart your future and make your dreams a reality. All you need is the link, and the link is Lincoln Tech.
America's Technical Institute. It is the link between you and some of the fastest growing industries in America. Lincoln Tech has 4 locations in the Philly metro area that can help you start on the road to a career in the automotive, computer, or healthcare industries with hands-on training and the same equipment used by the pros. Visit LincolnTech.edu for information and to learn about upcoming open houses. That's LincolnTech.edu.
Party people, your dreams have not been fulfilled. Get your ass up and let's get ill. That's right, y'all. You're more than rough. We're calling you bluff. And when it comes to rap,
I spend too much time straight talk with the cats that etch my line. Walk, never fetch it for crime. Hawk, who goes
Welcome
there?
Back, morning show. As we hang out here on a Monday morning, and our Mondays hanging out with B West, live from the farm. I love the fact you get the horse farm, man.
Oh, man, you got to get down there, man. You definitely would love it. We talk about being
what part
so
of Maryland?
Relaxed. I mean, what'd you say?
What part of Maryland is it?
It's in Upper Marlboro, Maryland. And people can check us out on the internet at westbrookhorsefarm.com. I mean, it's a beautiful place. It's a relaxing place. And it's funny because I'm thinking about how relaxed I was on the farm as I'm watching the combine. And I'm watching some of these guys. And I remember back to when I was in the combine. And I remember how stressed out I was. I mean, it's just a stressful environment from the beginning to the end. And so it was stressful because these young people, these young guys, they understand this is a make or break opportunity for them. They're running the 40 now, the DBs are. But, I mean, this is make or break. You can make a lot of money in these few days that you're in Indianapolis at the combine, or you can lose a lot of money. And I was just so stressed out during those 3 or 4 days I was there. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, I can imagine. Like they're Joey Bosa, who made me the number one overall pick, because he didn't run well, all of a sudden,
right,
you know, it's like, uh-oh, he didn't run. It was like, you look at his measurables. And
it's weird because people start doubting themselves. The evaluators, they say, oh, he ran a slower time than we thought he should. Now we have to start second-guessing some of the things that we saw on tape, which to me is crazy. What you saw on tape is who he is. That's the type of player that he's going to be. But if he runs a slow time, then they have to start second-guessing it. But the truth is, the good evaluators, they understand these things here, these drills and things like that, that's just to see the guys move a little bit in person. But what's on tape is really going to dictate the type of player that you're going to get. And we've seen, they talk about how slow the receiver core was this year, but we see some of the most productive receivers in the league this year. Those guys didn't run a sub 4.4 time. Antonio Brown, he didn't run, he ran a 4.5. So, I mean, he's one of the best receivers in football right now.
Yeah.
And he didn't have a blazing time, but the truth is everybody loves fast guys. Oftentimes those fast guys, they don't always turn out to be the best players in the NFL.
Yeah, I'm with you. Hey, real quick, back to the farm. How far is it from Baltimore?
From Baltimore, maybe about 40 minutes from Baltimore. So we're closer. We're much closer to D.C. We're maybe 15, 20 minutes at the most away from, Washington, D.C.
All right. Look, that'd be a fun little excursion, man.
Man, listen, we should do a remote show from there.
Yeah.
We should do the show from there. And
during
the breaks, we'll put you on a horse and make you go around a little bit. We'll periscope it, whatever it's called, and, see what you can do, man.
That'd be fun.
Sign me up.
That'd be fun, man. Going to the B West Farm.
It's like Green Acres, Anthony.
That'd be cool, man.
We'll put you in a little boat in the middle of the pond and see how fast you can go from end to end. We'll do all of these things, man.
We can do canoe races.
It'll be like the farm combine.
That's a good idea.
We'll win here. I like it. All right, let's talk to some people, shall we, B West? Let's go to Ryan. You're on 97.5 The Fan. Good morning, Ryan.
Say, you guys have by far the best morning show in Philadelphia. You guys get me ready for work every day, and I hope you know how much everybody in Delaware Valley just appreciates you guys.
Thank you, Ryan. We appreciate that, bro. Thanks very much.
I got two things. I got an Eagles comment on Bradford and then a Sixer comment. So I kind of see it how you and Brian see it, in that if you're not ready to win now, why do you want to spend that money right now? I'd rather take that resources and be able to add more pieces for a true run later on. So to me, it's not good enough to go and make the playoffs. Like people say, the playoffs are all just about getting in. I don't know if that's true. Like if I make the playoffs, I don't want to just scrape in a subpar division. I want to be a legitimate contender. And I don't know if the Eagles are ready to take that step right now.
Well, the only reason that I think Howie and Doug and those guys are even considering Bradford is because in the league, the reason why they signed those young guys early is because they want to have some type of they want to be comfortable with the thought that we at least have these core group of guys in our system. These are positions we don't have to worry about in the near future. Same type of thing goes for Bradford in that quarterback position. Because if you're in a franchise that does not have a quarterback, they have no clue who their quarterback's going to be, like the Cleveland Browns, like Oakland for many years, where you're scrambling to get a quarterback from year to year to year. That's the position that this organization cannot afford to be in. So I think they're saying, okay, we know we might not have the best quarterback in the league in Bradford if we re-sign him here, but we know for sure that we won't be in a position where we're scrambling every year to look for a quarterback. And just talking about a competent quarterback at that point, I think that those are the reasons why Howie Roseman, Jeffrey Lurie, and those guys are thinking about signing Bradford long-term.
Right, and I can see that. I just don't want to get crazy and overspend for them, and then all of a sudden we're a hamstrung 7-9 or 8-8 team every year while we're wasting the prime of Fletcher Cox's career and those guys.
You're going to have to pay the going rate at some point, right? And even if you draft a guy and he becomes, you know, who knows, Joe Flacco, at some point you will have to pay that going rate. The thing that Anthony mentioned a couple months ago, which I still think is true, is that Joe Flacco didn't really get paid until after he had already won that Super Bowl. And the reason why that's important is because if you're not paid as a quarterback, that means you can pay other positions. You can put a better defense around the guy.
Your quarterback doesn't dominate or hold 39% of the salary cap.
And as soon as you start paying those quarterbacks, Drew Brees, all those other guys, you limit the other people,
right,
the supporting cast that you could put around, even a great quarterback.
Thanks, Ryan. Appreciate it. Joe, you're on with B. West. Good morning, Joe.
Hey, good morning. I can't believe what I'm hearing on the phone this morning from you, Anthony. You know, subtracting Billy Davis adds 2 wins. Let's be honest. Their defense was pathetic. They were on the
It was terrible, yeah.
Okay, so if you subtract Billy Davis and actually add a great-minded defensive coordinator in Schwartz with talent, you're adding 2 wins right there. I'm sorry, B. West. I totally disagree with you about Bradford. You know, as a quarterback in the NFL, as a franchise quarterback, you have the ability to have input on the offense. He had 0. In the red zone, which is the Eagles have very inferior talent at the wideouts, as a quarterback, you have to have the ability to make an audible in the red zone. He had 0. For a quarterback to constantly have the receiving quarter he did of, let's go over it again, Miles Austin, Riley Cooper,
Josh, I don't disagree on that situation. I think I look at it. I just don't think they're ready to win now. I mean, I don't.
That's why I disagree.
Yeah, tell me about the offensive line.
Okay, that's the only part that I think you need
to
improve.
That's a huge part.
It is a huge part, but Bradford took hits after hits after hits. His pocket presence was incredible in the last 6 weeks. He was getting killed, and he still stood in there. He does have the arm strength to make all the throws. But if you are not put in a position by your coaching staff to allow you to actually run your team, you can't ever be a franchise quarterback, guys.
But Joe, if Bradford, let me ask you, because I said this earlier, I don't know, Brian, yeah, jump in when you want, but I look at a situation like, say, the Jets, and that's Bradford belongs in that sort of situation more than the Eagles, where the Eagles have just so much work to do offensively. They have no speed on offense. And you have a really rebuilt, you need to get into that offensive line and build the thing. That's not a 1-year fix.
Right. Well, I think the other thing that you're missing is, it's not like Bradford was just great the other years that he was in St. Louis. I mean, he just didn't become an average quarterback this year. This happened throughout his career. He's been the same guy throughout his career. So we're talking about him making this big jump this year, then it's hard for me to see that, because we've seen the same exact thing from him throughout his entire career, not just when Chip Kelly was his coach.
Well, I believe that he owns the locker room. The players love playing for him, which you need that as a quarterback. But I'm going to disagree with you with the offensive line. If the defense knows, Anthony, that you're running to the right side when he stretch plays all the time and you don't do any play action, your offensive line, I don't care how talented you are, you're set up to fail. If you don't run any play action at all in the NFL, the defense has
I'm not going to disagree with you when it comes to scheme. Look at the players, man.
Yes, I know that, but if you...
You're being stubborn about it. Listen, it's fine. I don't disagree when it comes to scheme. That Chip's scheme was already figured out.
Right.
That was a big deal. They figured Chip out.
They understood what Chip was doing before that he could even... Yes. And I think, of course, that puts Bradford at a disadvantage, his offensive line play. But listen, there were plenty of throws that Bradford should have made that he didn't. There were plenty of throws, of course, that the timing, the presence in the pocket, that would have helped him be a better quarterback. I'm just saying, when I look at the elite quarterbacks, the Breeze, the Mannings, and when Peyton was healthy, Brady, I don't think Bradford's ever going to enter that category. He's not going to be at the bottom. He's not going to be at the top. He's going to be average. And you can win with the average quarterback, but the truth is you have to have one of the better defenses in the league. And until they build that, it doesn't matter whether it's Sam Bradford, Mark Sanchez, or the next guy, that's going to be the same offensive team. It just is.
God, listen, I hear you. I hear you, B. West.
I agree.
What, you agree?
No, that was Sal, not me.
Because, Jay, you were more on the lines of Joe.
Yeah, I just think you're not ready to win. So with Bradford here, you just have to pay a little bit more. It's a much better stopgap than a Chase Daniel or Mark Sanchez, which is just going to be...
I don't know that, though. I mean, I don't know that he's much better than Chase Daniels. And we haven't seen enough of Chase Daniels to say that he's even as good as Bradford.
I was going to say, he's got 76 career attempts. Nobody knows Chase Daniel.
That's my point. No one actually knows. No, we don't know that yet. But we have seen... We've seen the best of Bradford. We've seen his best in his 6-7 years in the NFL. We've seen what he can do. And I don't think that that's going to get us to the place where we need to be at.
Well, I hear you, man. I just don't want to accelerate. I guess my biggest thing we were talking about this morning, I don't want to accelerate the process and risk messing it up again. Like, I want to do it slow and methodical. Like, I want to draft offensive linemen. I just want to get it right this time.
Well, let me ask you this, Andrew.
Right? Let's say Bradford doesn't fit my plan.
Right. Well, let's say you still can draft an offensive lineman, but with the increase in salary cap, the $12 million extra you have in the salary cap, maybe we can still have Bradford back. Let's say we still can get Bradford back. We still can draft an offensive lineman. We still can build through the draft. And I have to believe this is what Howie and those guys are thinking now. We can have the best of both worlds where we can still draft an offensive lineman, prepare this team, but we're not hamstringing this team by Bradford's salary. Is that a possibility?
I guess. I mean, look, as long as you can get out of the thing in 2 years.
Yeah, but that's the thing, especially if he's not the guy that you need him
to be. Yeah, I mean, you just need the freedom,
guy that he is now,
right?
You have to be able to get out of it.
That's it. You just need the freedom to go, all right, well, I can maneuver out if I find the guy. I don't know.
Well, look at the deal that they're talking about Colin Kaepernick has out there in
right,
San Francisco.
Right.
They're talking about this. It's just a series of one-year deals, basically, wrapped in a big contract. Mm-hmm. If we can get Bradford, which I don't know why he would want to sign that type of deal, but if we can get Bradford on that type of deal, then it actually makes a little bit more sense to me.
Yeah.
But if you can't, that's when things get a little bit ugly for you.
I'm with you. CJ, you're on with B. West. CJ.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Hi, CJ.
So I just want to make one draft point. But before I do, I have a question for you guys. So my girlfriend and I, all the time, we sing this song. Who knows the best? B. West. Whatever happened to that?
You should sing that song more often, man.
That's a G.R. Stone production, right?
Yeah, you guys sampled it like 2 months ago. And me and my girlfriend, we were in the car driving to work when we went wild.
Jamie should have it somewhere. Smooth.
Can you get it? Because it is a G.R. Stone. Do you have that? James, can you figure that out?
That's
think it out. Right to request.
Oh, my God.
Shout out hour.
Song. Big time. So my draft point, guys, real quick, is everybody talks about how we don't have a second-round pick, which is absolutely 100% true. But people forget we have two-thirds, two-fifths, and two-sevenths. So we could easily package a third, fifth, and seventh and move up to the second round. Or we could get creative and take a later-round pick from next year and throw it in. Right? I mean, am I wrong?
No, you're right. No, you can. I mean, listen, I think he's going to wind up somehow getting a second round there.
Yeah, I'm sure he's trying to figure out how to get back into that second round. Of course.
I mean, or he can trade back, too, if you don't like. If he looks at it and says, all right, I'm sitting at 13, and the best players available are D tackles and D ends, and I'm kind of set at that area, I may want to move back.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a bad idea. And then just real quick, when you guys brought up Laquon Treadwell, I agree with you guys. I think that kid's a stud, too. But you can't take another first round. You can't
that's
do that
the, That's the
we,
question.
We had a first, a second, and a third in the last 2 years. You can't take any more receivers. If you guys want to supplement your wide receiving core, you go after free agents. You know, Rashard Matthews.
But here's the problem. The only problem is, and you're like, I get why you feel that way. But when you look back at it, like Doug Peterson says, listen, and Howie says the same thing, those weren't my mistakes. And if I need to fix that area, great call, CJ. If I need to fix that area, Brian, what do I do?
Well, right? Let me start here. And this is, I think this was true about a lot of the coaches on Chip Kelly's staff. I didn't think they did a very good job of developing players, getting them better from when they came on the team to when they, you know, to the end of the year or whenever they left. And I think that stands true for the receiver position as well. We never saw the progression of Riley Cooper, and he was decent when Andy Reid was here, and he actually got worse as far as his time with Chip Kelly. I think as a coaching staff, you have to be able to develop the players, and I didn't see that across the board for a lot of different positions while Chip Kelly was here in Philadelphia. It still remains to be seen if Greg Lewis can get those guys developed into NFL caliber receivers, but I've played with Greg Lewis. I saw his attention to detail, and he was not the most athletic. He wasn't the fastest, but he knew how to run a good route. So I have to believe he can make these guys much better receivers than they were. And I think when you start thinking about it, maybe you don't want to draft the receiver that early. But if you're talking about making your team better instantly, especially if you bring back Bradford, you will need a game changer in that outside position, especially if you're not 100% sure what you're going to do with DeMarco Murray and what's going to happen in your backfield.
What's Aguilar gut feeling? Let's go around the horn. Gut feeling, Brian, is he a player or a bust?
You know, I've watched some of his college tape, and after the draft last year, I watched a lot of his tape, and I'm saying this guy has to be a player. Then this year, I saw a guy that could not get off the line. He could not make NFL moves to get free, which to me leads me to believe that his coaches weren't teaching him. I mean, I just believe.
Plus, he did have the high ankle sprain, which lingers.
Yeah, listen, for a former receiver, that injury right there can be costly and linger throughout the entire year. So I'm willing to give him another chance because I saw what he was able to do in college, and hopefully Greg Lewis can get the best out of this kid coming in. So I think he will be a player, but he has to improve between his rookie year and this year.
Johnny Marks?
Yeah, it's not fair to say he's a bust already, but it's not a good first year for him.
I don't know if I have the vibe,
at
man.
All.
Does he, like...
I get the feel that it's just a...
Well, just remember, he's also going to be in the West Coast offense, which seems to be a little bit more receiver-friendly.
Yeah.
That's true. And the good thing about Doug, and this is the one thing that just drove me crazy about Chip Kelly, was that he didn't really care what receiver was in, what running back, and he never actually game planned to get the guy the ball enough. I think Doug is going to do a much better job of game planning to say, listen, Aguilar, we're going to throw you the ball 10 times this week. You better catch 7 or 8 of them. You're putting pressure on the young man to improve his game. I think Doug will do a lot better job of that than Chip did.
B. West, what's your take, your final take on Murray and this whole ask for a trade story?
Well, I'm a firm believer, and if guys don't want to be there, they're not going to be good for you while they're there. They're just not. If you don't want to be here with us, and we're talking about as a team, I want everybody to buy into what we're talking about, what we're trying to do. That's what every coach wants. That's why they got rid of Jackson and McCoy, because they didn't buy in 100% to what Chip Kelly was trying to do, and every coach wants that type of buy-in. And if you're telling me DeMarco Murray is saying you're getting paid $9 million, but you still don't want to be here, then at that point, I'm going to try everything that I can to get you out of here. I mean, and you haven't been that productive while being here to even demand to get out of here.
Hey, I got news for him. You want out of here.
Yeah, you're not going to get paid anywhere close to the amount of money.
Exactly. Get ready for pay cut there.
There's no doubt about that. But the truth is that if you don't want to be here, then bye. Because you haven't helped this team enough for me to say, I want you to be here anyway. Yeah. So, listen, if you don't want to be here, I'm trying my best to get you out of here. The problem that they're going to have is that with Ryan Matthews, the injury question there, Darren Sproles cannot be a 20-carry per game type of guy. That's not what you should have him there for. Who's going to be the other guy? And I think you can still find a guy third, fourth round, fifth round maybe to help you out in those types of situations.
Well, B-West, listen, you have a nice, serene week.
Hey, let me ask you this. You guys have this knockout competition coming out, huh?
Yeah, you're going to come? You calling you in?
Well, let me, I need these questions answered before I can commit.
Yeah.
Who's the favorite to win this thing here?
We didn't size up the field.
Well, it's easy. There's like 100 people that are going to be doing it, Bri.
Me. Okay.
And 90 of them are going to be listeners. So I know that our defending champion is going to be back again this year.
Okay.
Are you in? You want to come down?
I'm going to try my best to get down there, man.
It's Wednesday, a week from Wednesday.
Week from Wednesday. I'm going to try.
No, it's this Wednesday.
Oh, it's this Wednesday?
Right? Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I need to get off the air right now and get to the gym and work on my foul shots right now.
I like it. Well, come down if you can, man. Let us know, all right?
Yeah, I definitely will, brother.
All right, brother. Have a great week, man. It was awesome as always.
You too, man. Take care.
There he is, B-West.